Menachos Perkir Gimel Mishnah Yud 13:10 and the second to last Mishnah of the Masecht. And here we encounter one of the most bizarre developments in Jewish history, the establishment of Beis Chonyo and the halachas that apply to it. So Beis Chonyo refers to a temple which was dedicated to Hashem, the Jewish God, but which functioned in Egypt. Amazingly, Josephus says that Beis Chonyo operated until the year 73 of the Common Era, meaning 3 years after the Chorban HaBayis, the Beis Hamikdash in Yerushalayim. Only then did Vespasian, the emperor, have Beis Chonyo destroyed in Egypt because he was afraid that the Jews would essentially reestablish themselves over there and operate from that temple, which is really amazing. Now, its origins, says the Braisa in Menachos Koftes, is that Shimon HaTzadik had two sons. The elder son was Shimi, the younger son was Chonyo. But nevertheless, Shimon HaTzadik decided that his successor should be Chonyo as the greater of the two. However, Chonyo declined that because Shimi was 2 years his elder. And so he said that Shimi should become the Kohen Gadol. However, Chonyo seemed to have second thoughts. And when Shimi was ready to serve and be initiated, so Chonyo misled him and told him he should dress a certain way with a specific kind of, you know, clothing and sash, which really was like a woman's clothing, or the kind of clothing, sash and, you know, apron that a woman would wear. And he then told the Kohanim that Shimi was doing this to fulfill a neder he made to his wife, that he would wear her clothing on the first day of his service to the Beis Mikdash as Kohen Gadol. And the Kohanim essentially wanted to kill Shimi. Shimi explained what had happened. They turned on Chonyo. Chonyo fled for his life to Egypt, to Alexandria. Now, the largest Jewish community outside of Israel was in Alexandria and the surrounding areas. And that was true throughout the Second Temple period. And Chonyo actually set up his own competing Beis HaMikdash, temple to Hashem, there in a place which is today called Leonopolis, which is like the Greek name. And Beis Chonyo operated for centuries, okay? According to Josephus, 343 years, which is quite a time. The Tiferes Yisrael says a couple hundred years. That would be a little tricky to figure out the timeline because of Shimon HaTzadik, because of the beginning of Bais Sheni period. But whatever it is, Beis Chonyo operated for a long time as like a almost parallel Beis HaMikdash for Jews in Egypt. Now, its origins, Tosfos suggests perhaps that Chonyo had good intentions and his original plan was to have the Beis HaMikdash there in Beis Chonyo, if you will, to bring korbanos for the goyim, which would be permitted. Whatever the case, the question is, during the Second Temple era, how do we deal with this kind of parallel temple which is operating in Egypt? What was its status? So, says the Mishnah, if a person says, Harei Alai Ola, a person says, I commit to bringing an Ola, so then, Yakrivena b'mikdash, says the Mishnah, he has to bring in the Beis HaMikdash. What else would you expect? Vim hikriva b'beis chonyo, if he actually brought that Ola in Beis Chonyo, lo yatsa, he's not yotzi. Not surprising. If he says, Sh'akrivena b'beis chonyo, what happens if his neder was, I'm committing to bring an Ola, but I'm going to bring it in Beis Chonyo? So then, the din is, Yakrivena b'mikdash. The Ola can't be brought in Beis Chonyo, of course, as he brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'im hikriva Beis Chonyo, yatsa. However, if he does bring in Beis Chonyo, he is yotzi, something. Now, what is a yotzi? So the Gemara doesn't take this on face value at all. The Gemara says it must be, everyone knows you can't bring korbanos outside the Beis HaMikdash. There's actually a chiyuv karas for bringing a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, what it must mean is that the nature of his neder was that he said essentially, I'm going to bring an ola, but I'm not taking a chrais for it. And if anything happens to the korban, if it gets killed, even if the way he dies is by, you know, being slaughtered in Beis Chonyo, I'm not achrai to replace it. And therefore, yatza here means he's fulfilled his obligation, meaning he has no further obligations to bring a new korban to the Beis HaMikdash, because this commitment was contingent upon not having achrayas to bring this animal as an ola, should it get killed, or for that matter, offered even in Beis Chonyo. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein Zo Ola. Rabbi Shimon says nothing doing. He's consistent with the shita we saw before. He basically over there in the 12th parak had said that when you make a neder, you look not just at the beginning, but at the whole thing, to the end of what you said. And if you made a stipulation which sort of inconsistent with the way that things are offered. So then it's just not binding. He was basically saying that Shlo hisnadev kaderech hamisnadvim. That was his lashon mishnah there. The commitment wasn't done in the way that it has to be done. So in other words, a person takes a neder and says, "I'm bringing an ola to Beis Chonio." That's just not a neder. It's not binding. Okay, just the same person would say, "I'm committing to bring a zebra as an ola." Like that is not binding anything. So bring a Beis Chonio ola is not a commitment, and therefore this thing isn't consecrated in the first place. So if a person actually would now go and have that animal was slaughtered in Beis Chonio, so it would just be shechting chulin. Things not consecrated, there's no consequence whatsoever. It's the same as just taking that cow and shechting it anywhere under the sun. Beis Chonio is as irrelevant place anywhere else, just shechting an animal. And there's certainly no iser in shechting an animal in Beis Chonio because it's not a korban and it's not a Beis Mikdash, it's not outside Beis Mikdash, it's not a consecrated animal. Says the Mishnah further. If a person says, this is like a related point, if a person says Hareini Nazir, he accepts upon himself to be a Nazir. Now, as you know, a Nazir is sort of like a neder, but it's a package deal. It includes three basic categories of restrictions: not cutting one's hair, not getting exposed to corpse tumas mace, and also not essentially consuming grape products, just to keep it simple for a second. Now, at the end of one's Nazirus, if he becomes a Nazir, so then he has to go to the Beis Mikdash. He brings actually three different kinds of korbanos. He shaves off his hair. The hair that he shaves off his head goes under the cauldron, which is cooking the shlam that he offered. It's a complicated procedure. Now, that procedure is referred to in the Mishnah as giluach, which means shaving. But it means not just the shaving of the hair, but also the whole process that's involved in bringing these offerings. So if a person is Hareini Nazir, says the Mishnah, yigaleach b'mikdash. He has to complete his Nazirus, which typically is for 30 days, by going to the Beis Mikdash proper in Yerushalayim and bringing the offerings and shaving his hair over there and burning it under the hair under the cauldron, etc. Fine. Vim gilech b'beis chonio lo yatza. If he would go to Beis Chonio in Egypt and try to fulfill his obligation over there, so that doesn't cut it, obviously, because it's not the Beis Hamikdash, he'd have to go and start again and bring Karbonos there in Yerushalayim, as he should, with all the additional consequence of having shaved his hair prematurely and that kind of stuff. Now, if he says, She'agalech Beis Chonio, his original commitment to be a Nazir was, I'm becoming a Nazir, and I intend to complete my Nazirus with the procedure of the shaving and the korbanos in Beis Chonio. So then, says the Mishnah, Yigalech b'mikdash. Who cares that he said he wants it in Beis Chonio? That's not where you do it. Therefore, he should go back to Beis Mikdash. Vim gilech b'Beis Chonio, yatza. However, if he goes to Beis Chonio and he does his offerings and the shaving and everything over there, so then he'll be yotzi. Now, the Mishnah here, again, can't be understood in its straightforward way, says the Gemara. So again, since a person, everyone knows you can't bring karbanos in outside the Beis Hamikdash, he obviously didn't mean to be a Nazir in this kind of way. He meant essentially that, listen, Beis Chonio is close to me, Beis Hamikdash is far from me. I can't schlep all the way to Yerushalayim, it's too far. So therefore, I don't actually want to be a technical Nazir, I just want to sort of accept upon myself some certain afflictions, but instead of, you know, swearing off, you know, meat on Fridays, I'm going to swear off great products like a Nazir and cutting my hair and Tumas Mace, you know, for 30 days. And at the end, I'll be done, okay? And then I'll complete my procedure by going to Beis Chonio. So again, that's a strange thing to do, but we say yatza, meaning if he does what he said, so he fulfills his obligation, his neder was just simply for some generic self-affliction, and it came to an end 30 days later, we went to Beis Chonio and cut his hair, etc. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein Zeh Nazir, Rabbi Shimon says, same as before, since he made a commitment to be a Nazir and complete in Beis Chonio, which is like not a thing. Therefore, his neder is not binding in the first place. He's not a Nazir. He can do what he wants. He can cut his hair. He's not bound by anything. Same as the previous principle, sort of Reb Shimon, and back in the 12th parak. Halacha, however, does not follow Reb Shimon. Halacha is like the Tanna Kamma, both there and here. Okay. Says the Mishnah further, HaKohanim Sheshimshu Beis Chonio. What about the Kohanim? These are Jews who were serving in Beis Chonio, right? So those guys, lo yashamshu b'mikdash b'yushalayim, the rabbis gave them a knas, a penalty. They said, anybody who serves doing shirut, doing a vote in the Beis Mikdash there in Beis Chonio, meaning he, you know, offers blood on the Mizbech and that kind of stuff, so that's a no-no. Besides whatever consequence there are of offering korbanos out to the Beis Mikdash, chiyav karas and so on, you know, the guy does tshuva, and he maybe it was an accident. It was a shogi. He didn't know. He thought it was okay. What, it doesn't matter. The point is, Chazal say anybody who served doing the kind of things, not really shechita, because that could be done, but beyond that, if he does those kind of avodas in the, you know, haktara, zrika, and the like, in Beis Chonyo, he's forever invalidated for being to doing service in the Beis HaMikdash, a dindur rabban, a kanas. Vein sar chlomar ledavar acher. Now the Mishnah used the word davar acher to refer either to avodah zara or sometimes to swine, to pigs. Here, of course, not talking about pigs, talking about avodah zara. So davar acher means that in sar chlomar, no need to mention that one who serves as what's called a komer, an idolatrous priest. If he's a Kohen, Jewish Kohen, who then does some sort of avoda in an idolatrous temple, so he becomes now forbidden forevermore from doing avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Shneamar, we actually have a proof text for this, because the pasuk in Malachim, Beis says, Achlo yalo kone habamos el mizbach Hashem b'Yerushalayim. Those Jews who served on these like idolatrous temple altars outside of Yerushalayim, they may not go up to the Yerushalayim's Beis HaMikdash and do a vote over there. Ki im achlu matzos besoch achehem. But the pasuk does let them to literally eat matzos amongst the brethren. It's referring to menachos, because a mincha, you recall, of course, menachos, essentially all minchas are unleavened, so we're calling matzos over here. And that means that even though someone who served in an idolatrous temple, even again, beshogeg with tshuva and that kind of stuff, or in Beis Chonyo, again, even if it's shogeg and tshuva and all kind of thing, still they're forever forbidden for doing avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. However, they are not necessarily forbidden from eating, you know, the whether it's the shiraim from a mincha or even korbanos. That, as a kohen, they are allowed to do. So therefore, the Mishnah says, Harei hem kebalei mumin. We treat them, therefore, as if they are balei mumin, meaning a kohen who has some sort of blemish. As Hashem Mesechus Bechoros, not too long from now, the one after next. That's to say that Chokin, they do get a portion with their brethren, their Kohen brethren, of the Shiram of the Menachos and the, you know, Shlamim meat and even, you know, Chatas meat, that kind of thing in the Beis HaMikdash. V'ochlin, they can eat that meat or the Menachos. Avalo makriven, however, they are not allowed ever to bring offers in the Beis HaMikdash as a Kanas Midrabanan.